You're listening to the Ministry Grow Show, brought to you by Reliant Creative, the creative agency for gospel-centered ministries. Find out more at reliantcreative.org.
Welcome to the Ministry Grow Show, a podcast dedicated to helping churches and ministries grow and make more effective impacts for the kingdom of God in an ever-changing digital world. Whether you're building and growing a gospel-centered ministry or leading a church, if you want insight into the strategies, struggles, challenges, and successes of other ministry leaders, you've come to the right place.
Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking with Julie Beamer. She's the co-founder of Club 1040. Julie, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Zachary. It's nice to be on the Ministry Growth Show. I'm excited. I love your vision about how you want to market so we as nonprofits can do what we're called to do. This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like you've taken a look at some of our messaging on our website. So I appreciate that.
Love the podcast. Love the people that you've had on it. So I'm excited to be on it today. Thanks.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun conversation. Can you, just to kick us off, can you tell us a little bit about Club 1040 and what you guys are doing with the ministry and why you guys exist?
Yeah. Club 1040, my husband and I, we started this about 28 years ago, and the name is in the vision. Club 1040 Club is a group of like-minded people around a common cause, and that common cause is the 1040 window. And so my husband's and I's heartbeat is to get everybody in this final frontier, this knife edge of the Middle East, North Africa, born again, and so that the Lord can return.
Mm. And so there's a bit of a ushering in that last final age element to what you guys are doing, a passion around that.
That's really our heart cry, is just to usher in the second coming of the Lord. And we feel like this part of the world, if you look at it on a map, you can see that there's been so much work done in so many parts of the world, but there's this last 1040 window where some of the people in this area have not even heard the gospel one time. We work in Middle East, North Africa. We work in 22 different nations. And we live here in Beirut, Lebanon. It's an amazing place, Zach. But I can literally go down the street and find people that have never even heard the gospel. And so it's an interesting place to be, and it's also such a cool time to be here in this place for this time.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you guys have to be concerned about security issues with where you're at right now? Because I know a lot of places within the 1040 window, there's a lot of hostility towards the gospel, depending on where you're at.
Well, our headquarters are here in Beirut, and Beirut is really a unique place to be because of the fact that it is the only Arab nation where you have the freedom to be able to go out on the street and tell people about Jesus. In fact, we feel like it's a greenhouse for developing missionaries. And so we have about 5 missionary families here. We're training them to go into these other 22 nations to be able to live and preach the gospel. So it's really a wonderful greenhouse place to learn how to live in this part of the world. So you don't have to be too fearful, even though the countries all around us literally are hostile. At any moment, things can go crazy very quickly. But on a general daily basis, there's freedom to be able to minister in this country. It's very interesting, actually, because literally about 7 years ago, Lebanon was about 70% Christian and 30% another religion. And literally because of the Syrian refugees that have infiltrated into this country, in just 7 years, it has literally swapped to 40% the other religion to 60% Christians. That shows you how fast things can change in this part of the world.
Man, that's wild.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I wish that's I could crazy. Show you visuals that you could just see how many refugees have infiltrated into this country. It's literally was about 3 million people. And in such a short time. The refugees, it's doubled in its population. And you can just imagine what that does to the electricity grid, the jobs. Oh, yeah. The whole dynamic of this country has just changed in a very, very short space of time.
Hmm. Yeah. It almost seems like you guys, Beirut serves as kind of a global gateway city that allows you to make disciples within your context and then, like you said, send them into the neighboring regions, the neighboring nations, with the gospel that you've taught and trained and raised those leaders up in.
Yeah, a perfect place to train leaders. I don't know how many of you follow the news, but if you see in the last, well, obviously the whole world has kind of been going crazy in the last couple of years, but Lebanon literally has had serious situations. We had lockdown before COVID. So in October 2019, revolutions started happening here, protests in the streets. It went crazy. Then we, you know, January 2020, March 2020, COVID happened. And then I'm not sure whether you had heard about it, but in August 2020, the Beirut blast happened and it totally rocked this whole area. I mean, it was literally already having severe situations happen, but the blast was kind of like one of the last things. But in spite of this, we've been here since about 2018. Even in spite of the protest, COVID, the blast, these people are amazing. Their resiliency and their ability to bounce back is incredible. I think most of us would have quit and left the country, but this country keeps on going on, and they are amazing people. It's a neat place to be, and the people that we are seeing come to the knowledge of the Lord, and not only come to the knowledge of the Lord, but receive the gospel, and then we communicate it. Not only they recommunicate it in their language, but with their culture, their stories, and it's even purer than what you or I could ever even recommunicate this beautiful gospel message. And it's amazing to see them rising up from everywhere.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, offline, we discussed a little bit around the importance of children getting involved in the Great Commission. What inspired you guys to develop curriculum specifically aimed at children to engage them with the Great Commission?
I have a super passion for children, and I want to see children get involved in the Great Commission. And from the very beginning, I had children, and if you cut us, we bleed missions. And I really feel like missions is part of our identity as followers of Christ. And I want to encourage them to be part of the Great Commission. In fact, you know, missions should be part of every Christian's DNA. And what a great opportunity to get kids involved when their hearts are so soft and ready for the gospel. In fact, scientists have found out that children between the ages of 3 and 9, their moral and their spiritual foundations become set. After 9 years old, Zachary, it's very hard to change a child's, you know, those foundational times and those foundational spiritual principles that we put inside of them. So I love grabbing these kids when they're at this beautiful age. In fact, I think that most missionaries have become missionaries or had a dream or heard from the Lord when they were children. It seems like most of the missionaries I talked to, they said, the Lord showed me something when I was a child. And so I know it's a very formative time that we need to be able to talk to children. Their hearts are soft, their hearts are full of compassion, and they want to get involved in doing whatever God has called them to do. And so it's a perfect time to do that.
Mm. Now, are you guys specifically focused on children as an organization, or is this a new initiative? Has it always been a part of your DNA? What's that kind of look like?
Club 1040 is more about planting churches and planting Bible colleges throughout the Middle East and North Africa. But the Lord gave me a tool, and let me tell you about this tool. It's books and curriculum all about Matt and Lizzie traveling around the world telling people about the Lord. It's called Around the World with Matt and Lizzie. And so we used to live in Nigeria, and I love Nigeria. And I worked at an American school there. And as I was working at these schools, I was able to meet the president's children, ambassador's children, UN, I mean, every top official around the world, you know, at the embassies and this higher level of government, their children would go to the school that I was working at with my children. And I saw that these children could literally speak, some of them up to 5 languages.
Wow.
Many of them had served in several different countries. They knew more about culture than I could even imagine. You know, they had lived in these countries. They could speak the language. They knew how to operate in different type of cultures. And they had such a global awareness. And I was like, I would go back to the States and I would go into our churches and I would see some of our children and I would be like, Lord, how can I develop tools to be able to train our children to be the next global leaders that know you, that know your word, that are able to exercise their authority whenever they go into these situations? So I was like, I've got to do something here. And the Lord gave me a scripture, and it's in Psalms 112, 2. And whenever I read the scripture, I was like, Lord, you are looking for people that have children, training their children. I'll read it to you. It's, their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Some other versions are, his descendants will be powerful in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed, or the children will be successful everywhere. And, you know, we need to be globally aware in the world that we live in right now. I know in the States, you can literally go down to your local Walmart and you can see people from all different countries there. And what's happened in most of our places is we're fearful. And not only are we fearful, but our children are fearful. And I'm like, under every burqa, under every hijab, there is still a heart that needs to know about the Lord. And you can't operate in fear whenever you're meeting these people. They need Christ. And we are the ones that are going to be able to offer Christ to them. And so I need our children to be globally aware. And so Matt and Lizzie, they go into these different countries. They meet different nationals. They learn geography. They learn about currency. They learn about languages. They learn about food. And I'm actually taking them through their imaginations, through a beautiful power of, you know, telling a story, taking them and transporting them across the world and helping them see and meet different people and learn about these cultures. So hopefully someday they're going to say, ah, I need to learn these things so that I can be the global leader that God needs me to be and, you know, do what God's called me to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's so cool. Yeah, I have 3 young kids, 7, 5, and 3. And what I've been amazed by as I've become a father is how much more responsibility my young kids can take on than I had ideas that they would be capable of at the ages they are at. It's amazing. Like, they're so much more capable than we give them credit for.
Well, if you look at Bible in our Old Testament, what are the stories that we learn about? David, he as a teenager fought Goliath. Mary had Jesus as, you know, we think that she was a teenager. If you look at Gideon, if you look at Esther, all of these heroes of our Bible were young, and they were called by God to do incredible things for God. And I think sometimes we don't think our children are capable of doing the things that he needs them to do.
Mm. Yeah, that's so good. Can you share some examples of stories of how children have made a significant impact in missions or sharing their faith?
So let me tell you about some stories of how children have made a significant impact in missions and sharing their faith. I think that if we give children the why of their work and get them involved and participating and become involved, you know, they're no longer going to want to watch it. They're going to want to participate. And, you know, I've seen children go out and I sit them around a map. And I get this map from Target and I put it on the ground and I say, let's get all around this and let's pray for these different nations. And, you know, we talk about where the worlds are. We talk about the continents and we talk about what's happening around the world. And it never fails that they are mentioning what I'm hearing on in the news. You know, we think the kids just pass by and they're not really hearing it. And I normally work from ages 5 to 12 years old. And these kids start talking about the war in Ukraine. They start talking about the situations, you know, in China. And I'm like, we can really make a difference from right where we are. You know, we might not be able to go to those places, but you can start changing nations now. And let me just tell you this one story. And, you know, obviously we're not going to take all the credit, but I tell this to the children and they just come. They're just so excited. But I talk about in China. And I said, you know, in China, many of the, the government would only allow the children to be able to have one child. And this child normally was a boy so that they could carry on the generations. And the girls were not wanted. And so we started praying for the government in China. And this is, you know, about a couple of years ago. And you should have heard the children's prayers. The prayers were straight from their heart. And, you know, they're not like, prayers that you would hear from the great, you know, men of God that we hear. They were the most simplest, most purest prayers. And it wasn't long before we started seeing in the news that the government was changing the literal policies of China, that they were able to have more than one child. And so now I tell this to the children and they're like, oh my gosh, just through our prayers, we can literally change nations. That's through prayer. Then get them in giving. You know, if you give your child an allowance and show them how they can literally make a difference in another child's life, you get them a picture on their refrigerator and you show them that child, they'll do anything. They'll have the lemonade stands. They'll do the shoe boxes. I know that my children love to do Operation Shoebox. They would find the things in their house and they would put it in the shoebox. And you've seen what Operation Shoebox has done. And this is through children. You know, they have things to give. They have things that they want to participate in. And so I think anytime you give a child, show them what they're giving to, not just, you know, you can show them adults, but when you show them another child, they will do everything that they can to be able to help them. I even encourage them. I say, you know, go through your room before Christmas. What can you give away? And I encourage the parents, take them down. Let them go on a mission right in your local community and give their things away and show them that they can actually make an impact right now to another child. So getting them involved when it's young is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. And, so within the curriculum that you guys are creating, what are some of the key principles and values that you aim to instill in the children through this curriculum that you've written, through these books?
Through the books and through the curriculum. I mean, my biggest aim is to show them that God has a purpose for their life, a vision for their lives, and they are significant in God's plan. Whenever you show a kid that they are significant and that they can do something amazing for God, I mean, it literally lights the passion, you know. When a child has passion, this is another thing that I try to place inside my books and curriculum, you know, it ignites their excitement and makes them want to do something beyond themselves. Talking about, you know, power, I love to show them as young people that they have the same Holy Ghost that any adult around the world has. And He works in their lives. All they do is have to lay hands on the sick and they can see the sick recover. They can preach and tell somebody about the Lord. They can, you know, help their friends at school by sharing the same gospel message and seeing people come to Christ. And so purpose, passion, perseverance, power, joy and pleasure to do God's will. Those are the things that I try to communicate through my books and through curriculum.
That's really cool. Do you have any stories of children who have taken that curriculum or and gone through your curriculum and read your books and been a part of your ministry in whatever capacity and have grown up to become leaders that then went out into the neighboring nations and cross borders to share the gospel?
Well, my books are relatively new, so I started writing in 2016, but okay. But I have seen them. What's so amazing is whenever they get a hold of the understanding and the revelation that they are significant to the Great Commission, I have seen them literally go out on the streets and be able to share with their neighborhoods. In fact, during COVID, one of the little children, they said, please, can we have your books? They couldn't meet face to face, but they said, you know what? We can take these books. And in the back of all my books is How to Tell Your Friends About Jesus. They were able to drop them all off in little gift baskets throughout their neighborhood. I had one lady who was a nurse, and she worked in, in the emergency room. And she bought stacks of my books. And every time a child came into the emergency room, she handed a book to the children. And she said she got to see so many of those children come to know the Lord just in the emergency room. So, you know, I've seen a lot of them grab hold of it. I love just to see their faces light up whenever they think, you know, even though I'm young, I can do something significant for the Lord.
Yeah, that's really cool. I want to shift a little bit, but organizationally, you talk a lot about, from what I can tell on your site, a lot about relational movements and reaching the unreached. Can you share what you mean by relational movements and maybe what that looks like in practice in the field?
Yeah. You know, we believe that everything God wants to do on this earth is done through relationships. And, you know, even now, me in relationship with you, you in relationships with the people that are listening to your podcast, you know, it's going to trigger things in people's hearts that will show them that they can be part of doing something significant, even though it's halfway across the world. And so everything starts with relationship. In fact, you know, all of our partners, they love being in relationship with us because they know that we can literally be the ones that are touching the people and being the ones on the ground ministering to them. And then we give them reports to help them see what they are actually doing. So we love the intimacy of being a relational missionary movement.
Now, is this different than something like a DMM model or disciple making movement model or strategy?
Well, I wasn't familiar at first what the DMM model strategy. In our circles, we don't talk a lot about the disciple making movement. But whenever I went and I looked at all of the things that they, their elements, you know, disciples who make disciples, prayer, engagement, persons of peace. I love that statement because everywhere we go, we find our men of peace. We have discovery groups. We call them alpha groups. And I'm not sure whether you're familiar with alpha, alpha.org. It's an amazing discovery group. Oh my gosh. We use that here in the Middle East. And it is like one of the best tools that we are using throughout Beirut and in different places that we go. We always believe about establishing churches and leadership development. Leadership development is the key to whatever we do. So I saw a lot of synergy between both of those, you know, whether you call it DMM or whatever you call it, the same principles can be applied everywhere you go.
Yeah, that, I mean, there's a ton of names for it. T4T is a similar model, training for trainers. CPM would be church planting movements. These all follow a similar strategy to what you're talking about, where you're raising up leaders, training leaders, equipping leaders to go make multiplicative reproducing disciples, right? Yeah. It's not a movement. It's not a disciple making movement until disciples are making disciples who make disciples, like that multi-generational disciple making process. So that sounds like you guys are doing some really similar stuff. It's cool to see. I've talked to a handful of organizations that play in these spaces, and a lot of them aren't familiar with the terms. Yeah. Like you guys, like you hadn't heard of DMM, the term, but you were already doing something similar, because there's an element of walking in obedience to what Jesus lays out in his ministry. And there's organizations that are doing that and walking in obedience to that, whether we're following some man-given term or strategy to the walking in obedience to what he's outlined.
Let me tell you a cool story, because during COVID, you know, all of us had to regroup and find the strategy that God needed us to do during that time. And we were able to go online, and we were fairly new in the country. So, you know, what are you going to do while you're here? And we started gathering different people, the small team that we had, and these people were fairly new believers. And, you know, what do you do just with fairly new believers? You can't come together and meet with them. But we would get together on Zoom, and we would develop an outline, and then we would preach it to them, and then they would preach it back to us. And then we would say, we need you to go away and grab hold and put your stories, put your culture in it. And then we would go online, and we had some amazing broadcasts, Zachary, that went. In fact, we had millions that were listening to our programs here, and we were checking all the IP addresses, and they were all literally in this part, in this region of the world. And, you know, it's one thing for an American to go on and do a live broadcast, but it's another thing for them, their faces, their culture, their voice to go up there. You know, if I said, yeah, you know, Christ can make a difference here for you, they'll look at me and they'll say, yeah, you're American. You can always leave this country. You are not affected like we're affected. But when we would put their people up and let them do the preaching of that message, we literally were astounded at the WhatsApp messages. I'm sure you're familiar with WhatsApp, but the WhatsApp messages that we were getting were literally from different religions that, you know, I can't name here. And we could tell by their last names where they were from. And they were the ones that were commenting the most on our messages. So talk about raising up leaders. You know, at any moment we could be told you have to evacuate out of this country. And if you don't have leaders, and you haven't raised them up, it's going to sink everything that you've, you know, been doing. Mm-hmm. But we have some amazing leaders, and I'm so proud of them. They're preaching even better than us. They're preaching even more pure, and the message is just so beautiful coming from their mouth. You'd love to listen to these messages.
Oh, that's really cool. That's awesome. Well, hey, Julie, I want to make sure that we take some time to hear from today's sponsor, but when we return, we will continue our discussion on with Julie Beamer and Club 1040.
Are you looking to grow your ministry but don't have the money or marketing knowledge to make that happen? There's good news. Google offers an advertising grant to churches and ministries that is worth $10,000 per month. This means that if your ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, you are eligible to receive $120,000 per year in free advertising dollars. This allows you to place ads at the top of Google search results pages and drive thousands of visitors to your ministry website every month. Our sponsor, Click Nonprofit, helps your ministry acquire this Google ad grant and then manages your Google ads to ensure you get the most out of the grant. Schedule a free consultation at clicknonprofit.com to learn more about how this grant can help your specific ministry. Mention the Ministry Growth Show when you sign up to get 20% off your first 3 months of management.
Hi, welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We've been talking with Julie Beamer of Club 1040. Julie, do you guys collaborate with churches or other organizations to implement either the stuff you're doing with the kids, with curriculum and books, or the leadership development stuff that you're doing? And what does that look like for Club 1040, that idea of partnership and collaboration with the church?
Yeah. You know, everything Club 1040 does, it's about training, mobilizing, and inspiring. And in inspiring, we like to inspire the children. It's this generation, every nation. And so these books are not only having an impact over here, but they're having an impact in the States. And so obviously, it's a little bit harder to do those campaigns from here, but our office in the States is always making them available. They're on every website, you know, that has books available for their churches. But we've had several churches and campaigns and homeschoolers that have picked these books up. So the homeschoolers love them because in the back of every book, there are questions and answers and all different ways that they can go through and have activity pages. And I can enforce what I've been trying to teach in the book. Vacation Bible schools love them because if they have any type of missions theme, these books are the perfect tools to use for missions, activating for their children. So many times they take these books and they buy them in bulk and they hand them out as gifts to all their kids. In fact, one of our Presbyterian churches, it's a beautiful church in Naples, Florida. They bought 100 of my books, and for their missions fest, they took my books and they made it a requirement to give all of their children. So it's getting these books out, making people aware. Like I said, they're still relatively new, and the missions curriculum is getting ready to come out. So it will be ready in the next probably October time. But the books are online and they're ready to go.
That's really cool. How do you make sure the curriculum in the books is culturally relevant? Are there adjustments or nuanced changes that you're making depending on what culture you're writing it, or is it was the approach from day one when you started writing to make it relatable to all cultures? Was that a strategic approach that you took at the beginning of this process?
Well, my books are loosely based on my family's real life missionary adventures. So, you know, okay. Matt is the hero of the book. Lizzie is my daughter, and Bentley the dog is my son, who is the character of our family. And so he gets to be the character of the books. But what we do is, you know, they get into situations in every country. They travel to the different countries. And like I said, they learn where these capital cities are. They meet a national there. They find some challenge in the country and they figure out what to do to overcome the challenge by God's word being implemented. So the principles are basically the same, but they go into different countries. They're able to do missions for God in these different countries and learn about languages, learn about the food, learn about the culture in every book. So they're staying, biblical worldview is the same. They're being engaging and hopefully relatable to children. The children really love them, especially because they can see the real life pictures that the illustrator has used to be able to make the book. So they're all, you know, real illustrations of our real family life stories and adventures.
That's cool. Do you guys have future plans or projects that you have in mind for taking that curriculum and expanding on it, or maybe furthering, empowering, and equipping children to actively participate in the Great Commission?
Yes. In fact, many times I go into the churches and do great big missions for children, and I tell the stories and I get them all dressed up in the different costumes from all around the world, and we do a parade of flags and parade of nations. We have different nationals that come from the different countries and introduce them to the children. We bring real money and we give it to the kids and we show them, hey, this is from a different country, and you know how much kids love money. But we're wanting to go into many more of the different countries and tell the story about the different places in the 1040 window. I really want to uncover these places in the 1040 window and introduce Christians and children, especially, to these places. The underground church was featured in my China book. And, you know, sometimes people think, well, you know, children don't need to hear about these situations. I'm like, this is the perfect time. If you tell it to a child that there are places where you can't tell people about Jesus, where people have to go to jail because they love Jesus, or they can't even receive a Bible. When kids hear this from in the United States, it causes their Christian life to become so much more real, so much more authentic. And literally it puts foundations in their heart that will last forever. So there's much more that I want to do. Just one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What role does storytelling play in your ministry? Obviously, it shows up within the books and the curriculum, but within your communication and marketing efforts, within maybe within your leadership training and the development, what does storytelling look like within Club 1040?
Storytelling, you know, I remember as a child, and this is the reason why I wanted to do illustrated books, is because those stories and those illustrations in those children's books, they came alive to me. I remember every Old Testament story just because it was painted in such a, you know, a beautiful picture. And I believe that stories, like you say, they mobilize people, not just adults, but they literally mobilize children. Stories provide destinations to where children can go, where they belong. Stories allows God to speak to their hearts and speak to their imaginations. And, you know, kids' imaginations are alive during this time. You know, dreaming allows God to speak to their hearts. And so I always want to boost their imagination, their creativity, expose them to, you know, the world of imagination. And whenever kids are able to have an imagination and allow their imagination to go big and around the world, they literally know that they can do anything. And if you can give a child the capacity to dream big and use their imagination, you're not going to be able to keep them back from anything. Hmm. It opens the doors to new worlds. I feel like every one of my books transports these children to a different country. It introduces them to what people are like around the world. It allows them to know that God can use them in anything that they want to do. And it reminds me, you know, Albert Einstein said, your imagination is your preview of life's coming attractions. So if I can get children dreaming about going around the world to tell people about Jesus, I believe that God can use that, and their future is going to be one where they're helping us to usher in the Lord's return and get this gospel message to the unreached people groups of the 1040 window. Mm.
Did you use any storytelling structures within your books that you wrote for the kids?
Well, I went through before I started, and I set out all of my objectives before I started. And I tried to stick to those through every single book. I use the same method through the books, but they're different places, different characters, different ways they do that. But like I said, they're based on, like, in China, we smuggle Bibles into China. This is a real life situation that happened with me. We were chased around by the cops in that country. We went into the place where we had to unlock the treasures of where the books were held. In Egypt, we went into Garbage City and we ministered to, you know, a little girl that we were feeding there. We went in and prayed for her brother, and her brother was able to, you know, be well again. In England, we went to Party in the Park and we saw Ali, who was from a different country where he's not allowed to hear about the gospel. And we were able to tell him about the gospel in England. He wasn't allowed to go back, but it showed about how we were able to tell him about Jesus there.
Mm. That's really cool.
Africa's even better. Nigeria, we go into Nigeria and we do a water, dig a water well, and we meet the Puff Puff Girl. What is a Puff Puff Girl? So this little girl, you know, there's several little girls there, and they carry the Puff Puffs on their head. And these little girls are from different, different religions that aren't, they've never heard about the name of Jesus. We were able to buy her Puff Puffs and sit and talk to her and tell her about Jesus. And so, you know, just little stories like that open their hearts about the Puff Puff Girl. And then in the back of the book, they make Puff Puffs. They learn what a Puff Puff is.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Well, man, it's exciting to hear what you guys are doing and hear your passion for this. I really appreciate this conversation, and thank you so much for being on the show. If people want to learn more about Club 1040, if they want to get a hold of you and maybe partner or invest in the organization, learn more about what Club 1040 is doing, how can they do so? Or maybe if they want to get the curriculum in the books for their kids.
Everything is at club1040.com. That's CLUB1040.com. And then it has club1040kids.com. You can get it through our website. On Instagram, Facebook, it's club1040. No space between club and 1040. And we have a beautiful Instagram page and Facebook. So we're very active in all those arenas. Even on YouTube, you can find us at club1040.
Awesome. And I will make sure to include those in the show notes as we post this episode. But yeah, thank you so much for being on the show. As we wrap up, can I pray for you?
Oh my gosh, yes, please.
Father, I just lift up Julie and Club 1040 and Club 1040 Kids and all the stuff that they're doing in the 1040 window, Father. We pray that you would guide and lead them, that you would continue to guide and lead them as they make disciples who make disciples, Lord. Thank you so much for Julie and her heart. Pray for her and her husband as they guide their teams and develop and train leaders to go out and share the gospel and reach the nations that have not been reached with your name. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing, Lord, that you've invited us into that incredible redemptive story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Julie, thanks so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ministry Growth Show. If you enjoyed it, we'd appreciate it if you rate and or review us on the iTunes store. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a story to share with other ministry directors and pastors, or know someone who would be an incredible guest on the Ministry Growth Show, let us know. We love connecting with ministry executives and sharing their wisdom and insight with our audience. Just send us an email at info@reliantcreative.org. And lastly, if you need help telling your ministry story, we would love to share how we can help in that process. Check out Reliant Creative at reliantcreative.org. See you next time.